Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition is a very clean, very pure way for you to get all the nutrition you need. It doesn't matter if it's whey that I'm holding right here, creatine, daily multivitamins, fat burners, rest, sleep, anything you need. Very clean. It's very pure. But it doesn't just stop with how much it does for your body. This line of supplements was designed specifically to support the Envision La Fuente ministry in the country of El Salvador that takes disadvantaged youth and offers them a brighter future through education. Be a part of doing great things for your body and doing great things in the world. Triple R Nutrition. See in the show notes exactly the link to click on and get everything you need to help yourself and help the world be a better place.
It's great when you can learn from your mistakes, but it's a lot less painful to learn from somebody else's mistakes. So that's what we're hoping everybody's going to be able to do today, is learn from others' mistakes.
When you get behind schedule and you're supposed to go at 9 and it's 12:30 and you haven't gone yet, you took your pre-workout at 8 and now you're hungry because you didn't eat since like 6:30. And you drove, so you're stiff, and you can't get on machines because they're all being used because they're so far behind. That is the biggest frustrating thing as an athlete.
The Titanic of DECA disasters that we had. This mistake was so colossal. I'm not kidding you that when I was trying to fix it, I had this massive spreadsheet on saved on my desktop, and it was saved as DECA train wreck. That's how bad it was. We spent a whole week putting it back together.
In the video, you see it.
You guys had a taco truck at a DECA event?
Yeah, man. Not all tacos are unhealthy.
Eat this taco, and by the time you're done with your race, you'll have it thrown up all the way.
The hot dog truck did worse for us in our digestive tracts.
I think you should do the underdog taco mile, where it's 160 meters plus a taco per station.
Like, as the gym owner, you gotta take ownership over your flub ups.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo, and we got a special guest on for this episode. We got Kevin Gregory Bubbles in the house for this one. Today, you guys, we're going to be talking about DECA disasters. So, so all three of us have had a lot of experience hosting and participating in DECA, several different DECA events across the country. So we are going to talk about the disasters that we've seen so that you guys can learn from the mistakes that we've seen to improve upon your events.
Well, I just want to say mistakes we've seen, but the biggest disasters have been the mistakes that I've made. So lest anybody think we're making fun of anybody, let me tell you, the finger is definitely pointing at me first. Because I've made some major flub-ups that have definitely, I've paid for them. I have paid for them big time. So I've got some stuff to talk about that I've done wrong today. But we've also, you know, it's great when you can learn from your mistakes. But it's a lot less painful to learn from somebody else's mistakes. So that's what we're hoping everybody's going to be able to do today, is learn from others' mistakes. We know you've seen a couple, Kevin.
Oh, yes. Both hosting those mistakes, going into other gyms, and even being part of some of those mistakes in other gyms. And a lot of things reported back to me because everyone thinks I can fix them. So I appreciate that. I do bring them to the people that can exchange information in a nice way and let them know that they need to be fixed. Skipping the painful part of you making the mistakes is definitely the most efficient way to get better.
Learning from others' mistakes is definitely key just for continual improvement in life and in general.
Well, today I want to start off by letting everybody learn from my mistakes. And it's, you know, when you, whenever you see something go wrong at a DECA event, not always, but probably, I'm guessing, 8 or 9 times out of 10, it has to do with not training your volunteers correctly. And that was the case for my biggest ever, the Titanic of DECA disasters that we had. This mistake was so colossal. I'm not kidding you that when I was trying to fix it, I had this massive spreadsheet on, you know, saved on my desktop, and it was saved as DECA train wreck. That's how bad it was. We spent a whole week putting it back together because we did not have our input person trained correctly. Well, first thing that will happen is people show up and they want to register day of. And this volunteer, I didn't have him trained adequately. And so he didn't know how to properly register people day of. So that's a problem. And then people would come in and want to switch, maybe switch partners. Well, I registered with this one, and there's a way to do that, but he didn't know it, right? And so that was the next problem. And then when people were bringing back results, and maybe it was results for a race they had registered that day, or maybe it was results for something that they had tried to change at registration, a partner they had changed, or they changed, you know, wanted to change the type of race they were doing or whatever. And so then the problems got compounded and multiplied. And so they weren't entered correctly. You know, they weren't registered correctly. And so then when you try to enter the results, you can't enter the results. Results maybe could have been entered for a race somebody didn't even run, you know, or for a totally different set of partners. And it was unbelievable. I'm not kidding you when I say we spent a week trying to figure this out. And I had multiple Zoom calls with Nelson Diaz. God bless him for how patient he was, because most other people would have cussed me out several times over how big a mess that was. But the lesson learned is, you know, there's that Thursday meeting before the race, and it's tempting to skip that, or you as the owner go, but you don't have the actual volunteer go, or maybe vice versa, the volunteer goes, but you don't go. And not everybody knows how to handle these things. And then, you know, somebody gets sick or their kid gets sick or whatever. And then there's, you know, that know-how of how to handle the thorny situations. And then that's where it can snowball and there can be all these problems. And then people are upset because where's my time? I race. Why aren't I on there? Why am I on there as racing with Betty when I raced with Kevin Gregory? I got an 8-minute DECA strong time. No, actually, sorry. Sorry to tell you that was supposed to be a 28, but we entered it wrong, you know? So the biggest thing to avoid a DECA disaster is to get people trained. And right now I'm focused specifically on the person that's doing registration and data entry. Make sure they're at that meeting. Make sure you as the owner, your manager, I mean, have 3 or 4 people at that meeting, because that's just one of those things you can't have too many backups for. It's like having too many life jackets. You just can't have too many of those.
Volunteers are so key to having an event. And those are the people that they're the face for that event. The people that are coming into your gym and doing your event are seeing the volunteers. And when they're interacting with them, that's the association that you're going to have with your gym. So it's so essential that you have those volunteers properly trained so you don't have experiences like that. And also so that people are having a positive experience at your gym. Because when you have screw-ups like this, people are going to have a really, really bad time there. And they're going to get super frustrated. And then they're going to associate that with your gym. So not a good thing at all. So Kevin, as a seasoned DECA athlete and owner of your own DECA affiliate gym, what's the biggest disaster you've ever witnessed?
I was thinking of starting with something like a softball, a lofty underhand pitch, and then work my way up. But if you want the biggest disaster, it's always related to timing. Like you get excited as a gym owner, you sell a lot of tickets, but then, you know, this is a combination of reasons why you get to this. If you don't train your judges properly, you don't train your volunteers properly, you don't train whoever's in charge of sending people off in the right intervals properly, you get a lot of backups. And the biggest complaints, everybody, myself included, but I mean, we've been guilty of this just as much as anybody we've gone to. But when you get behind schedule and you're supposed to go at 9 and it's 12:30 and you haven't gone yet, you took your pre-workout at 8 and now you're hungry because you didn't eat since like 6:30, and you drove, so you're stiff and you can't get on machines because they're all being used because they're so far behind. That is the biggest frustrating thing as an athlete. I mean, me as an athlete, but any athlete, you know, when as the gym owner, you got to take ownership over your flub ups, as Coach Ricardo mentioned. And when someone's angry, our volunteers are first to realize that. And then, you know, our higher tier volunteers, maybe we don't really have a big staff, but they get wind of it. And I'm like, send the most unhappy people to me. Let me talk to them. Yes, they wish it didn't happen. That's number one. But number two, like, most people are pretty understanding. They just want to be heard. And they're like, look, I know I can't fix this. I can't give you 3 hours of rewind to have you race at the right time. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, because I want to make sure we don't have that happen again. And then you look to work as a team to kind of figure out where the holes were that this person just accidentally got skipped and ended up not being in line to go, or the whole event's just so far behind because of whatever the reason. Sometimes it's weather and you're playing an outdoor event and it's supposed to be sunny and you get there and it's pouring and you can't tape the lines on the chalk the ground because it's soaked. And then you don't want to have the equipment out in the downpouring rain, but you know it's going to clear up a little bit later. You delay, but it causes a lot. Everything snowballs when you have 8 people to get through in a half hour and deck is strong. You're like, oh, we got one. We got 7 on top of the 8. That's 15. And then we're going to snowball and snowball. When are we going to get relief? So I think the biggest thing, and this, you know, customer service athlete experience is the biggest thing. And that's by far the biggest complaint I've seen everywhere. There's all a bunch of little stuff that you can fix, but if you get behind, and like I said, a lot of things lead to that, but if you can miss one screw up and make sure that you don't screw up anything else, do not get behind, because it's going to cause a lot of angry folks. And then the vibe is very negative and you don't want to make eye contact with people. They're like, oh, we got to send that person off. And they're like, well, they're probably going to be like one of those 40-minute people, because this is their first event. You finally convinced them after 5 years to do a deck of strong. We know they're going to be 40 minutes. And we have all these like sub 20-minute people like waiting to go. But if we send them, it's going to clog things up and you didn't manage it right. So now you're just going to piss everybody off. And you want the 40-minute people. You want those new people starting.
Yep.
So I'm not putting them down whatsoever. Those are more exciting people to finish than the fast ones. But you have to manage the flow well enough that your 40-minute person has everyone cheering for them. Not everybody with their arms crossed like, come on, finish up now. You want a supportive environment. Like, get off.
Exactly. Then your whole experience for that person doing their first one, instead of it being a highlight of their, you know, their fitness journey, it's like, well, I'm never doing that again. You know, I would say a lot of, you know, what you're saying, I've seen where and heard about, where people get this idea in their head because they don't want somebody to catch somebody. And so they do this huge mistake of waiting until the person is on the station 7, the bike, or even they'll say, we're going to wait till later. That person gets off the bike. Are you smurfing me? You know, you're going to have
2 minutes for the row and the ski. You can count on that taking at least 4 minutes for those two, even the cyborgs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's there's a pretty 4 minutes.
Right. And but I'm telling you, I've seen that so many times where people are, we're going to wait till they get off the bike. And you can't wait that long. You're going to have people there, you know, till the next day. And when you've got two lines, all you have to do is just stagger people a minute apart, right? So you start line one, a minute later, start line two. And then with that 1 minute stagger, then there's going to be like, you can play Frogger through the lanes if you have to. If somebody does catch up to the person in front of you, no problem. Just bounce over and, you know, just play Frogger right around them, you know, bounce, you know, to the other set of balls or to the other farmer's carrier or whatever you need to do.
I have another pro tip for that one too. If you're familiar with most of your racers, look at your schedule and then look at the 8 o'clock slot. Okay, I have Alton, Cardo, and Mrs. Jones. All right, let's put Mrs. Jones third. We'll send Alton first because he's supposed to have the fastest time. And then he's supposed to be a minute slower. So we know Ricardo's not going to catch Alton unless Alton quits, and then we'll just kick him off the course. Alton's going to have a little bit of a buffer, and then Ricardo's going to be right on his heels, and then Mrs. Jones can start right after that, like one station ahead. because there's never going to be that gap's not going to close. It's going to maintain. The Mrs. Jones, I'm using that name as just average person that's first event. You can start them as soon as the other person's done with the row, basically, because that's going to be a 3 minute, 2.5 to 3 minute lead. And then they're never going to catch up. And then your other three Mrs. Joneses do the standard, like, few stations, or if you, the alternating one's really good too. But if you don't have that luxury, then try to stack rank who's supposed to be fast. Maybe you don't know them and you don't have that luxury. But as you get to know people, like, okay, here's my depth chart for 8 o'clock. Here's my depth chart for 8:30. Here's my depth chart for 9. And
once in a while, people kind of, you know, people want what they want, and you can't blame people or get mad at people for wanting what they want. But sometimes when people want something extra, they need to understand that that's going to cost them something. So, for example, people say, well, I want to race with this person, my friend, my spouse, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But understand, I can't back up the next 4 hours of racing for that. So I'm just have you set aside, and I'm going to put a few people ahead of you. And when I get enough of a gap to be able to do that, then I'll work you back in. It's, you know, it's not that I don't want to serve you, but I can't serve you at the expense of the next 20 people. Right. So just step aside. I'll try to create a little bit of a gap, and then I'll work you in, rather than saying, oh, we'll just back up. We'll just back up 10, 12 racers. Sorry, guys. You know, you have to let them know this is what it costs to ask for that. Not that I don't want to do it, but, you know, there's a real cost to it.
I think another good tip for host gyms is have somebody that is in charge of just telling people when they're going. Like, think baseball, like, hey, you're on deck, which means you're next. You need to go pee now, because as soon as this guy gets to whatever station you decide, say it's sit-ups, all right, as soon as he's on the sit-ups, you're setting your rower and you're judge is going 3, 2, 1, go, or the ski, or not the bike, something prior. But again, depending on how crowded you are and how risky you want to be. So tell it, hey, you're in the hole. That means the person ahead of you is going. And then once they go, so that way the athlete has a picture in their head when they're going. If you're 2 hours behind, stop lying to people. Just tell them, hey, we're 2 hours behind. I'm really sorry, but it's going to be a while. Go eat something. Here, take some free bars or something. It's our fault. It's on us. We're trying to help you out. I just want you to know you're not going in 2 minutes. You're going in 2 hours. So where if you're just sitting there as an athlete, you're like, you're bouncing around, you're all jittery, ready to rock. And then it's just like, and then nothing good is going to come out of your mouth. Rightfully so. Even the most positive person is going to get frustrated when.
And most people are gonna crucify you on social media later that day, because, and you know, I mean, that's what happens when you provide poor customer service. And to avoid a DECA disaster, one thing I did at a race, there was a race that got behind, and I stepped in and I stayed on the back half of the course. I was right there about where the farmer's carry was, and I would say, send them. You know, it was again one of those situations where they were waiting too long to start. And so I just stayed on the back horse. And when I was like, you know, all right, send them. And as they got to that back half of that course, you know, if I needed to, if I saw somebody was catching up, okay, hey, when you get off the bike, you're going right to the ball. You're skipping eight, going right to the tank, because then it's easy to have three people on the balls if you get there. If you only got two tanks, you only got two tanks.
Yeah.
And so you're stuck on that one. And so, but do what you have to do. Is it ideal that someone does a station out of order, or maybe has to do burpees and come back to the tank, or does the tank and come back to the over the shoulder? No, that's not ideal. But at that point, it's which is less ideal, skipping a station or being behind?
To add on to the point you're talking about, Kevin, where you have people, you kind of let them know beforehand. One thing that we do at a lot of our events is have someone on a mic that would introduce everyone before they start. Like we got Kevin Gregory here from Underdog Fitness. Let's say it's his first event. He's running his first event here.
We know you can get under 40, Kevin.
I hope so.
But that's something that can really just make people feel special, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's just making memorable memories.
Making memories. It's definition, but I get it. I 100% agree with you. I can't think of another word for you to use, though.
Making memories for people is really...
Memorable memories.
Memorable memory, yeah. is what's going to really, that's how people are going to want to come back to that event. They're going to remember that and be like, oh, that's the gym that puts on really good events. I want to come back and I'm going to do my mile next time at that gym. They did a really good job with that. And it just helps to build your reputation in the area for that.
So I can tell you another flow up that I did. We were doing our first ever event offsite, and we were doing it with another gym. And this other gym really did a phenomenal job of getting volunteers rounded up. But we didn't get them trained very well. And they didn't understand the rules and everything of the event. And then we had things happen like a new person's turning around and dragging the tank the wrong way and things like that are going on. And boy, do you have problems because, you know, people don't appreciate that. Rightfully so. I mean, when you go to a fitness event and you're competing for a time, you want the rules to be enforced. You want them to be enforced for everybody. And, you know, you look over and here's somebody dragging the tank the wrong way or whatever. They're putting their hands on the box and you just got done telling them they couldn't do it. And there's somebody doing it. You know, it can make for a deck of disaster when the refs aren't enforcing the rules. So I know that one thing for sure that can make for a disaster is when the refs don't know exactly what's supposed to happen.
And that reminded me of another disaster that I had that is very similar. It was actually at the first ever DECA event that we hosted. I was reffing someone. So I'd done it a couple times before, taking people through the event. But this person, we were starting to get clogged up. And so he was trying to speed up and he was struggling a little bit. And he got on the tank and he started pulling. But as he was pulling, he would turn, and so he had his, like, arms behind him, and he was walking straight rather than walking back and pulling it.
Right.
And a lot of this was just due to inexperience. Like I said, it was the first time for us hosting a DECA event. But just making sure that your volunteers feel empowered to be like, no, you can't do that. Like, that's a no rep. Like, you got to stop that. You got to turn around and do it the right way because you don't want videos to go up on social media where people aren't meeting the standard, right? You don't want to become the gym that people know as, oh, they don't really hold people to the right standard. Oh, that's a super fast time, but it was at that gym. Yeah, it was at that gym. They don't have the greatest refs. They don't really hold them to the standard. That's not the reputation you want to build.
I think empowering your officials, like you said, to call them out. And as an athlete, I've been to a bunch of gyms, especially when DECA was newer. And I know the rules. Obviously, we host events. I'm competing for a pretty good time. So I know the nuances of the rules. And when a judge is like, you can't do that, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is exactly allowed. I'm like, no, you have to do this. And I'm like, all right. Like, I'm trying to be nice about it. But I'm also, while I'm competing to put up my best time, I'm having a conversation during the event of counting my reps. Like, listen, lady, see that guy? He's videotaping everything. Let's finish, then we'll take this to the rule book, and then we'll dispute if this rule is correct or not, and then we'll call Yancey, and then he'll dispute it. But I'm not going to do it your way and then get, like, kicked off. And in the most gracious way, I've seen people, like, flip out, and some of our people, and I won't mention any names to protect the innocent, but some of our underdog athletes, and we've talked about it immediately, because I always get a text or a call right after, like, this mother effer, they made me do this, and I told them that's not the rules. And I'm like, you're right. I wasn't there, so I couldn't see if they were, like, berating, but, like, all of our athletes, it's not that none of us do any wrong, but we have a pretty good demeanor about us, and, like, we'll argue a little bit, I guess, have standard and boundaries, but at the end of the day, it's like, if you've traveled somewhere to go compete to put up a good time, because that's the day you could get off from work, you want to be able, like we talked about with bad officiating, you want to be able to be held to the same standard, and you want everybody else around you held to the same standard. So if you're on the bubble at the end of World Championship qualifying season and you lost by a second and you know they came from a gym that doesn't really hold the standard, you're going to be pretty bitter. And then also, Alton, you mentioned these bad reps get on social media and they get just lit up with critiques, not just the athlete for cheating, the judge, even though most people don't know who the judge is, the gym owner gets it. But then Yancey gets it. And when Yancey has to deal with it over and over and over, like, that's bad for the whole sport because, I mean, he's the best person I've ever met at handling these fires as they come up. But at the same time, like, he does so much to make sure those don't happen. And then they still fall through the cracks because, again, we don't get a judge trained properly or whatnot, or we don't explain it to the athlete properly. There's dozens and dozens of videos on how to do it properly. And then even like we put out all of them, like how to do it properly, but fast and efficient. And I think that just, that also decreases the experience for the athlete. If they're like, okay, cool. Like I put up my best time, but this person was cheating. So I did it because I knew I could. And then like most people don't want to get a better score by shortcutting it. They want to do it right, but they see someone else not consciously cutting corners, but that's what they're getting away with and they don't know any better. And we all get race brain sometimes and not intentionally forget to like lock out an elbow or something when you're going as fast as you can. But I think the best referees, as we're giving pro tips to fix things, it's not just that they know the rules. They do need to know how to rules. They need to know how to say no rep and have the courage for that. But what's even better is when you have people play by the rules without impacting them negatively. So I think as a professional NCAA official in multiple sports, my goal isn't to throw flags on everybody for hurting each other, breaking the rules. My goal is to get them to not break the rules so we can just play. So when I see someone winding up their stick to like whack the other guy, I'm like, hey, make sure you're hitting the right, make sure you're in the gloves, make sure you're in the stick. And then they hit it. I'm like, all right, thank you. I'll even like, we're running full speed. And I'm like, hey, thanks for getting that track on the gloves. And I don't know how much they hear me, but they hear me when I tell them like, hey, don't do that again. And then the next whack will be like a little more targeted. And same thing, like, hey, I see you, you're in that guy's face. Like, let's not do that, please. Like, or someone yells out a bad word. I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to put you in the box for this, but if your grandma hears it in the stands, everybody's going to know. So I got to put you in. So try to talk them out of things. So how does this work with DECA? Hey, you're getting a little low on your lunges. Make sure you're stepping all the way up. Make sure you're getting the lockout on your elbows on the burpees, or make sure the ball's starting to drift towards your elbow. Make sure that's up near your ear. And cueing properly, as any fitness trainer knows, the best trainers are the ones that have the right, that know how to cue people to do the movement the way they want it done, to activate the musculature that you want activated. Everyone can bicep curl a bunch of weight that's more than what they can handle if they swing their back and have bad form, but that's not building the musculature we want. So I think the best judges know the rules, but can cue the proper movement patterns and be encouraging. They're a great cheerleader, encouraging, and that's kind of like what DECA is built on, right? It's not the CrossFit, no rep. It's, hey, you're getting close. Let's get that a little higher. So I know you guys have both experienced tons of that, both at the local gym level and at world championships and those bigger fits. So anything to contribute on there?
One of Yancey's great quotes about that is graciously reminding people. We're not, like you said, it's not like a CrossFit event. We're just yelling at them, no rep. Graciously reminding you, like, hey, you got to lock out your elbows on that burpee, right? You got to get it all the way up there, or like you got to hit your knee on those lunges and stand up all the way for me afterwards. Like, graciously reminding people for that.
Well, yeah, so I think what can make a DECA disaster is what all you guys have said. Like, I mean, the refs don't know what they're doing, or they're not empowered because they do need to do that. But you know, after about, you know, warning, you do have to call that no rep. And I know that's where I hate doing. I hate that. You know, I've repped at world championships multiple times, and you're in zone 10 and you got people trying to make the podium, and it pains me. It's painful to try to no rep somebody, but you know what? I'm cheating the person next to them. If I don't, that's the person who's doing it right. They're the one relying on me to call that no rep so that they get credit for doing it. And so you do have to call that no rep. And yeah, some people are going to be, they're going to have too many endorphins flowing and be too intense and they might yell. But I've found that probably 9 times out of 10 or even more, people will come back and be like, hey, I was a little intense. Sorry about that. But they understand at the end of the day, we've got a job to do. We've got to maintain the integrity of the race. You know, talking about preparation, you can have them watch all the videos, but you know, walk them through. Just have a walkthrough that morning where everybody does it. And another thing that I really encourage is have a volunteer heat first thing in the morning. Like, I'll have a volunteer heat at 7. So I walk through it, and then, okay, Kevin and Alton, this is, you know, it's you're brand new. You've never seen DECA, but Kevin, you're going to do your strong while Alton judges you, you know, and then you'll flip it. So now by the time you do your first, you know, paying customer of the day, you two have you know, already two under your belt, doing one and practicing judging one, and that's going to help a lot, as well as having somebody out on the course that just supervises the course, kind of like a head
one
referee.
Overseer. I've been no rep before, and my only, and I told every judge since the beginning of DECA, I'm like, I'm not going to get mad at you if you no rep me, as long as you're following the rules and you're telling me like, hey, you got to get hired or whatever, and I don't do it, no rep me, absolutely. I just ask that you communicate loud enough that I can hear it, because when everything else is going on, the music, and I'm like, I don't want to be trying to read your lips while you're mumbling while I'm next to you. Like, just be loud and clear and tell me what I need to do. And that earns more respect. So Ricardo, when someone yells at you, they come back after like, hey, I'm sorry. And thank you. I knew I had to do one extra one because you told me no rep after, but I heard you, I knew what you wanted. And then I did it. And they don't run off and be like, what do you mean I'm not done? Like, I told you five times.
Exactly. That's where the disaster happens, right? Because someone's just counting to themselves, you know, and the athlete's at 20 and the ref didn't count out loud and didn't know you got two more. What do you mean I got two more? I know I just did 20, you know, and that's where the disaster happens, because they weren't going get it higher or get that knee to touch or whatever. And then, okay, nine. And because if you do that, then people aren't going to be surprised at the end and running off to the next station when you call them back, and you don't have that huge fight. You, like you said, it's got to be out loud. Definitely got to be out loud all the way.
The best defense is a good offense. There's something that the best refs we talk about to make games go smoother. And a new guy, like, I had those two teams and they were like fighting and like throwing, beating each other up and like literally swinging. Like, you guys had them, nothing happened. Like, what'd you guys do? And like, it's called preventative officiating. Catch things before they grow and nip it in the bud. I think as a gym owner, set up your setup prior to race day, run through it as the athlete. You don't have to go 100%, but move through the pieces. Cause we've had we try to put two lanes in our gym and our gym's tiny, and we had a butterfly course and we're like, oh, it looks great on paper. And I went through and like, everything's good. But then when we went through together, I'm like, ooh, if we're both on box step overs, we have a very tight space that we have to share. So unless we're in unison and synchronized going opposite, we're gonna have a little bump there. So we need to adjust things accordingly. Or just like Ricardo said, stagger. So that way you don't have two people on the box at the same time, which is good. It's a quick one. But set your station up and then reach out to other gym owners. And I've talked to a bunch of them like, hey, I'm doing a strong, like, what, any suggestions? I'm like, yeah, set up your course and send me a video walkthrough and I'll tell you what to change. I'm like, turn your box 90 degrees, turn your rower 90 degrees, move your farmer carry two steps to the right, do this with the tank, the bike's too far away, bring that closer. And like, I love it. It's like a little puzzle. Same thing with like deck of teams. I'm like, two people like, hey, I'm racing my buddy, what should we do? I'm like, I don't know. I need to know both of your guys' stuff. Write your routine down. What your plan is, and then I'll scrutinize it and I'll help you guys optimize it.
So, you know, one thing that I would love to hear is, what disasters have you tried to avoid personally, Kevin, or have we covered them all?
As a gym owner or an athlete?
As a gym owner.
We've had rain when we were outside, so you kind of deal with that. But I think if you operate with a lens, like you talked about before, like, I can accommodate you, but it's going to be at an expense. Like, I know you don't want to run right now because it's raining, but you're going to have to wait quite a bit of time because the other people are going to go, and then I can't just throw you back in. Or if you want to wait till it's done raining, this is the course. We've also had, we get a lot of requests to change times after everything's like finalized. Well, I'm like, all right, sure. Show up before we start. We start at 8. If you show up at 7, I'll get you in before 8. That way we are on time when we start. And they always show up at 7:55 and like, all right, I'm ready. And like, no, 8 o'clock starts at 8 o'clock. You need to be here an hour ago. I told you to come early. You didn't listen. Like, you still feel obligated to put them through first because you told them that. But they're not – you're like, I'll do it if you do this so that I can help you out. You have a wedding at 12 when you're supposed to go and whatnot. So that always gets a little hairy. Or when people show up at their race time, you don't know who they are. And they're like, all right, I'm ready. And like, I'm not willing to get you hurt because it's super hot or not quite hot. It's like pretty cold. I'm not letting you start the race. You just got out of your car. You drove 2 hours. Take your time, warm up. Let me know when you're ready. And that all comes back to finessing your schedule with, all right, I got to stay on time, but do what's right by people. And we've messed it up plenty of times, but that's why I keep coming back to it, because that I think is the root of most issues. I think another thing is with extreme temperatures, we had someone who had, I would say, heat sickness, to be nice. We didn't go to the hospital or anything, but he was violently ill after he raced in what was extremely hot. We did have a kiddie pool with a bunch of ice and water in it that he sat in. And then he did not feel well for the rest of the day. I raced later in the day when it was hotter just to prove that he was soft, but I sat in this, I beat his time by like 3 minutes, and then I sat in the plunge, and it was a mile. It wasn't just as strong, but by the time the day ended, like we were like, Jess and I were so cooked from just being in the baking sun. We had tents up that blocked some of the sun, but you can't block the sun on a mile. You're running in the sun. So that wasn't one of our proud moments. Trying to think, like, we really haven't had any catastrophes. I almost got hit by a taco truck during one of my races, but I was hosting the race. The food vendor decided to leave and drive on the running course as I was doing my last run after the tank, and he just backs out right in front of me, and I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get this qualifying time. So in the video, you see it.
You guys had a taco truck at a DECA event?
Yeah, man. It's not all tacos are unhealthy.
Yeah, eat this taco, and by the time you're done with your race, you'll have it thrown up all the way.
The hot dog truck did worse for us in our digestive tracts.
I think you should do the underdog taco mile, where it's 160 meters plus a taco per station.
I think it has to be Taco Bell, though, because some of those real tacos are like, they're good. Taco Bell, that'll mess you up. Or up in the Northeast, we have White Castle, at least in New York. I don't think there's any in Connecticut, but yeah, those are
over here. We got some.
My, I grew up, and my mom and aunts used to call them belly bombers, because when you ate them, they blew you up. The White Castle mile.
The White Castle mile. I want to see it. Oh. The leaderboard will be like, first place will be like 1 hour, 26 minutes.
You need porta potties. We made the big mistakes when we were newer, when we had less people. So it didn't kill us. And then as we've grown, we've gotten better, and we've been able to take on more athletes and not have those mistakes. But I think some of the biggest mistakes I've seen from other gyms is they don't measure their mile course properly. And then they have all these amazing times, and people are like, there's no way I beat you. And I'm like, I was wondering the same thing. I'm not saying you didn't have a good day, but if you told me that, you probably know you didn't have as great of a day as you thought. Like, I'm definitely not the best mile athlete. Anyone going under 19 minutes is going to stand out. And if you have a gym that has a bunch of those and no one's ever heard of most of those people, or at least they haven't raced elite a bunch, I want to check the measurement. I know most DECA miles, the course is not optimal for 160 meters. It's either an out and back or through a door, up the stairs, or on a ramp. Like, there's so many ways that people have made the run course harder and longer and worse than it should be. And I think that's why we have, I mean, our athletes are obviously training for DECA mile, but then we give them a course that's like Talladega. It's more of like a big rounded triangle, because that's our running course. Versus an out and back where you stop and go, which obviously slows you down. Or I guess a circle. We don't have an option for that. I have done tighter mile courses where we did two laps, which is a lot of turns, so that could slow you down. But that's still going to be faster than an out and back. So anybody, like, I talk to gym owners all the time. If I go there, I'll try to build rapport with the owner and be like, hey, can I give you a couple tips before you send the first person? Because there's some very minor things I can adjust to make your course faster. And some of them are like, yeah, oh my God, thank you. What should we do? And the others are like, no, we're good. I'm like, okay.
It's your show. Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been in situations where you just can't avoid a hairpin, you know, a U-turn. But if you, anything you can do to round that as much as possible, even by 2 meters or 5 meters, anything you can do to round that hairpin turn, it's going to really help your athletes. Yeah.
They're great. Jess is amazing at that for us. She'll bounce around and like, hey, this, hey, that. And sometimes, like, we'll overlook things. I've had equipment fail, too. That's probably the biggest problem we've had is, like, all of a sudden, our rower that's never had one issue is showing a 350 pace for someone that I know can row 145. And I'm like, it's not a battery. It's not, like, how did this get uncalibrated in the last 24 hours? Like, stop. Just cut it off. Stop. Save your energy. Get out of here. Like, go rest. We're going to start you again. We'll put you on a better lane. We'll try to figure this out. And I've had a couple skis break. Someone was pulling them too much and they re-spooled, but it wasn't clean. And then there was like a skip and then like one arm goes down on like no resistance and the other one working. That's really the scary part because we have two lanes. Now we have one lane.
That's definitely, oof.
Those are our deck of disasters. I mean, I've had them as an athlete at Worlds, when I won the co-ed Deca Strong Championship the first year they had it, Amber and I broke our ski erg and only one handle was working. So all of our fans, yes, the other team, other people on the team watching us, I'm like, what? This is so messed up. The ski erg's broken. They're getting screwed. And I'm just like, I'm skiing. I'm like, okay, I have one handle. I'm just going to go with this. Stay calm. We only have 100 meters left. We're still in first. Like, if they catch up, at least we save some energy and then, like, be able to pop out. But from that, being on both sides of it, I think gives us a lot of perspective when it comes to like solving problems and trying to, obviously we want to disrupt the athlete, but if you know all of a sudden your bike screen isn't resetting, like, all right, we got to pull the batteries out. He's on his third farmers. Quick, get this thing open, pop the batteries out, put them back in. All right, bike's reset. We're good. Now we need to know every time someone's on the ski, pull the batteries of the bike from the previous racer so that way it's reset because the button doesn't work to reset. And finding out those little things because I guess timing, number one, when you get backed up hours behind. And then two would be equipment failures. And it's not like sometimes if you don't pay attention, you forget to change the batteries. Like things are like just the monitor doesn't work because you don't have a battery. Change the batteries before your event.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff that like a tank, like having a flat tire because you didn't realize you should check the tires 20 pounds each on the Z-Bex, or not the Z-Bex, the Torx. If they're straight, if the tires are all even, they go pretty straight. If one's loose, you'll be steering around and whatnot. And there's little things with all the stations, but
so you just got to be able to adjust and adapt on the fly with stuff. And I mean, mistakes are going to be made at times, but it's just a matter of how you respond to them and how you react in the moment, which will really determine the success of your event.
I think the best DECA gyms that have most successful events are all willing to share all of our best practices. And that's how Ricardo got to his role is because he did so well at it and he shared and shared and shared. And now that's literally what he does for DECA is help DECA affiliates host and run better events, both on the front end, setting it up, selling more tickets throughout the event. So that way people have an amazing experience. And on the back end, so that way people are like, wow, that was great. I want to train for this. What do I do now? Oh, you guys have DECA classes? I don't go here. Perfect. And it's better for everybody as we grow the sport, hold the standard, and get a lot of people fitter and thrown down.
You know, I think that is the perfect, you know, piece of advice to close with to avoid a DECA disaster. You're exactly right. Caution really does cure a lot of ills. By just, you know, not being too proud to think, oh, you know, if you're so proud, you think you've got all the best ideas and you can't learn from anybody else. You probably are setting yourself up for a DECA disaster. But by being humble enough, to, you know, only I'd say this all the time in my gym, only the humble can improve. Right. Mm-hmm. And because
that was the message of church today, actually, Ricardo.
Was it really?
Yeah. Word for word, but exactly what you're saying in summary. Like, if you pride, you're not going to get better. Until you humble yourself, and then you'll get all the blessings. I'm like, wow. Ricardo, did you talk to my pastor today? you guys are talking, right?
there might be somebody else that's talking to you. Yes. That's just it. God gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. Is a lesson in our whole life. But yeah, the owners that are humble enough, they're the ones that are going to improve because they admit, I don't know all the best things. I need other people in my life and I can learn from others. And so, yeah, I think that is the number one way to avoid the DECA disasters. But next time, we're not just going to talk about disasters. We got another great episode coming up for you. Tell them about it.
Yeah, so we talked about all the bad stuff. We're through the storm now, so now it's time to cruise on and enjoy some of the Deca delights. Yeah. Next episode, we're going to be talking about some great experiences that we've had at different Deca events, hosting, racing, all of it. So stay tuned for that episode. A little more positive of tone to that one than this one.
This one's about overcoming.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, take it from us, learn from these disasters.
Hey, thank you, Kevin Gregory, for joining us, and thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode on how to avoid a DECA disaster. And your gym, we want you to have a DECA delight. We want you to be known as a great place to go where people can come and celebrate fitness, have a wonderful time. And like Kevin talked about earlier, where first timers are going to come and feel welcome and feel celebrated because it's a positive atmosphere. And it doesn't matter if someone's qualifying for the world championship or getting their first DECA ever. And everybody in between is going to feel celebrated that they did something meaningful in their fitness journey. We want that for you. We want it to be a positive experience for everybody. And hopefully you can learn from these DECA disasters and learn from someone else's mistakes and avoid them for yourself. And tune in for our next episode when we share with you about DECA delights and all the things you can do to make it extra special for everybody involved.
So thank you guys for tuning in to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficult times. Go be resilient.
As always, if you need coaching in resilience or in your hybrid racing, get a hold of us. We love to hear from our listeners. Give us feedback on the show. You can reach out to me at coach.ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Molinax on Facebook.